Okay, my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project in Trafalgar Square, London. The date is the 20th of July, 2009, and the time is 2:38. If I could ask you please to tell me your name, age, and where you come from.
My name is Abby Jackson, I'm 29, and I'm from Gray Abbey in Northern Ireland.
Thank you very much. When was it you first found out about the One Another project?
I think it was very late at night, looking at the BBC website, and thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I went online, and it was so easy to apply that I had eaten quite a large amount of Haribo that evening, so that's kind of how I ended up applying, I suppose, and finding out about it.
So what kind of inspiration or motivations would you say, what motivations would you kind of inspire you to apply?
I recently took a vow of trying anything once, and that just fitted exactly in with that kind of, I've seen so many different things and like this happened before, and I've just kind of gone, oh, that sounds interesting, and just not done anything about it. And I sort of thought, you know what, 2009 is meant to be a year of trying out new things. So as a lot of participants seem to have said, you know, it's like, oh, 2009 is my year to do something different. So we're all up there having midlife crises by the sounds of it.
Thank you very much. What is it you're going to do when you're up there?
Well, I work for the Ulster Wildlife Trust, and one of the big things, and that's the big thing in my life, is nature conservation. And my kind of my job within is education. And so I kind of, when I got it, I sort of thought, well, you know, I could do all sorts of different things, but I really wanted to kind of have a sort of a national stage, I suppose, to be able to urge people to nurture nature. So it'd be really cool if I could get one person to do one little small thing in their garden from watching me do my stuff. So that's kind of my motivation behind what I'm actually doing. Is dressing up as a giant butterfly, and I shall be dancing to various wildlife-themed songs. So I have a very serious message, but giving it in an exceedingly silly way, so it's like comic relief for wildlife up there tonight.
Thank you very much. What songs are you going to be dancing to?
We're starting off with Joey Ramone's version of It's a Wonderful World, and then there's going to be a bit of The Eels, I Like Birds. A bit of Park Life, because he talks about Blur, because he talks about feeding the sparrows. There's I'm Like a Bird by Nelly Furtado. There's Love Is Like a Butterfly, and just various really silly songs that I mentioned. And some of them is like kind of quite bizarre. There's one song that everyone's going to look, huh? It's called Funky Buttercup by the Bamboos. But it's got no lyrics to it, so everyone's going to be like, that's a really cool song, but what's that got to do with wildlife? But yeah, so just a selection of my kind of favourite music.
And what is it you're going to be taking up there with you?
I will be taking up myself, my wings, a big banner saying Nurture Nature, and my CD player and some small sunflowers, because sunflowers are a great thing to kind of be planting in your garden, because birds, if you let them go to seed, birds feed off them. So I've got some nice kind of sunflowers to visualize and to make a little bit to green the plinth. I had been considering buying a lot of turf, but then I kind of discovered it was going to cost like £100 or something to actually get it delivered to here. I sort of thought, yeah, I'm not going to be that ambitious.
Okay, thank you very much. Who would you say you're doing this for?
I'm doing it for a combination of myself, to challenge myself and do something different, but I suppose so that's why I'm on the plinth, and the person, I'm not doing it for a person, I'm doing it for UK wildlife, as far as what I'm actually doing. If I didn't have this passion, I'd probably just be up there, kind of taking photographs, like kind of having a read, probably talking to people on the phone. But no, that's why I'm making an idiot out of myself, is for the wildlife.
And can you expand a little bit on the particular significance and importance of wildlife and how you found yourself kind of working in this sphere?
I have my dad was a botanist, and he was a very important influence in my life, and just took me out all the time down the Lagan River, which is in Belfast, and go down the towpath and the Lagan, and this really kind of got me excited about wildlife as a child. And then went off to university, did zoology, but then kind of randomly started doing really, really random stuff. And one day I woke up and thought, why am I doing a job giving to ASBOs? And this is just outside Liverpool, so I decided to go back to uni because it's just something that's always been with me, kind of my love of wildlife, and my kind of, I've always been involved volunteer wise doing things for wildlife. So I thought, you know what, I want to actually go back and make a career out of this. So and I just did a lot of volunteering for the wildlife trusts. So when I left my master's, then I got a job at the Ulster Wildlife Trust, and it's kind of, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do, and this is just so part of it. I mean, I'm up at, you know, whatever time it is in the morning, doing this for the Wildlife Trust, because it's kind of important for me to go out there and do that. And it's funny, I'm sure of my dad, because my dad died a couple of years ago, so but if he could see me now, he'd be having he'd be in hysterics, he'd be so amused, he'd be very proud, but he'd be very, very amused. So I kind of suppose I'm doing it a bit for my dad as well. Yeah,
thank you very much. What kind of reaction or impact would you like your hour on the plinth to have?
I would like to generate someone out there, be it like tonight out there, but the chance of actually anyone being out there at 4 o'clock in the morning is quite slim, or anyone watching on the internet, or anyone who watches me back afterwards, for someone to say, you know, I've been meaning to do something with my garden, I've been meaning to do something with my little patch. It's so easy, let's go out, plant a tree, make a mini beast hotel, or do something along those lines. If a couple of people did that, that would be great. I've had a couple of interviews, radio interviews, which has been great for the organisation and the wildlife trusts in general, just kind of getting people raising awareness of our campaign, which is Make Space for Nature campaign, and then there's the London one, which is Garden for Living London. That's been great, and I know this is meant to be about art, but you know, it's like, kind of art can also, I think, give a message, and that message is something that I really want to push. So that's kind of what I want to get out of it, and not fall off as the other thing. Although if I did fall off, as everyone pointed out, that'd be great publicity for the Wildlife Trust. Yeah, you're definitely getting the paper for that. But I'm not going to. I'm hoping I don't take off on those wings in this wind.
Thank you very much. How would you describe yourself as a person?
I would say an ever-changing feast of eccentricity. I do get myself into odd things. And certainly over the last year or so, I've kind of just tried out new things. So I would say I'm probably eccentric is probably the best term for me. Always willing to try something new, love meeting new people, love kind of going and doing random odd things. This is just completely and utterly up my street, really, in that sense. So yeah, I suppose I'm 5'4", short brown hair. yeah. That's how I describe myself physically. So yeah.
Thank you very much. Maybe you've covered it already, but what things are most important to you at the moment?
Things that are most important to me are my job, and really what, not so much my job, but the nature conservation, and kind of wildlife. And you know, even at the weekends, I'd be out and going for walks, discovering other things, and there's just nothing like the feeling of going somewhere different, you know. And then on another note, I suppose the other thing that's important to me another thing that's important to me is going out and actually experiencing life and not letting it pass you by. So I'm quite determined to travel soon enough, and so kind of want to see the world and want to do a bit of voluntary work abroad, and that's really important to me, to kind of go and have those sort of life experiences, I suppose. I think those and Haribo are quite important to me. Yeah, there's a theme, as you can see, the fact that I seem to eat an awful lot of it at the moment. If anyone is listening from Haribo, you know, one another, have my address. If you want to free, send me free samples.
Thank you very much. What hopes and fears have you got at the moment, if any?
My hope is that I don't get twackled on Twitter. And my fear is that I'm going to take off from the plinth because they're quite big wings, and I will end up flying over Trafalgar Square. So my immediate hopes and fears. I suppose my biggest hopes and fears are all around. When I'm in an optimistic mood, my hopes are that things are improving for wildlife. People are becoming more ecologically minded, more conservation minded, and people are more aware of their importance in our natural environment. But then when I'm in a pessimistic mood, my biggest fear is that we're not doing enough as it is, and we need to be preserving and looking after and improving the habitats and the wildlife of the UK. There's so much kind of rainforests, all these like kind of issues far, far away, and we kind of tend to forget our own wildlife, which is amazing wildlife. It's beautiful, and it's as bizarre as it comes, as beautiful as it comes, you know. And we don't. And my fear is that people don't appreciate it, and it's just going to slip away, and you won't know what you've lost until it's gone. So that would be my kind of bigger picture hopes and fears.
Thank you very much. What kind of significance does being a part of the One Another project have for you?
It's been a big part of my life, actually, since I found out I was doing it. It's actually really become quite a key part of like who I am at the moment. It's quite strange. I was buying a CD player in a shop, and I asked the woman, like, kind of what going past, and I said, you know, you don't really know anything about these CD players, do you? She's like, oh, right, yeah, and I was chatting to her about them, and to go run some batteries, and she's like, oh, you're taking a holiday? I went, no, I'm actually taking it on a big lump of granite in the middle of London. She went, oh, you're going on the fourth plinth. And I'm like, yeah. She was like, that's amazing. And she took all my details, and she was so excited about it. I was just like, I've had all these text messages from really random people who've like either seen me in the paper or heard me on the radio, all kind of sort of saying, you know, kind of texting me going, oh, I heard you, good luck, you know, congratulations. Like all these friends of my mum's, you know, it's like really random. So it actually has become, it's kind of consumed my life, I suppose, a little bit. It's gonna be quite strange, actually, when I get off. I mean, it's, you know, not 2 hours time I'll be getting off the plinth. It's gonna be a bit like, oh, what do I do now? it's gonna be strange.
And how are you feeling? Where are we? An hour and 10 minutes before you go up on the plinth.
I'm feeling quite calm, actually. I was really nervous when I got off the bus and then saw the person who's up there at the moment. I went, oh, what am I doing? And that's kind of the reaction I've had every time I've been down to Trafalgar. I came over a couple of weeks ago for the Blur concert, and I caught the first day of it, and I sat and I watched these people up there, and I was just going, I must have actually lost my mind. And I was really nervous about it. And then even like kind of, I've been so busy at work that, you know, it's like kind of stressing about getting everything done, and then all of a sudden Friday I was like, it's here, you know. It's just like kind of, it's actually happening. So yeah, I'm quite, but now I'm quite, maybe it's because I've been up for a very long time, that I've kind of, I've in this like kind of calm, zen-like kind of place where, yeah, it'd be grand. So yeah, as long as I don't fall off.
Have you got any final kind of closing comments on being a part of the One Another project, or what it kind of means to you?
It's interesting that it's been really, because you do feel like a part, you do really feel like a part of the project. You don't feel like I'm just going up there and I'm doing an R and that's all I'm doing. But kind of because there's the Facebook group, there's Twitter, and there's loads of people who, they're kind of this little network of people doing stuff. And then like kind of staff have just made like kind of the phone calls and, you know, got any questions. Yeah, and the little booklet and everything. And I really feel like a part of the project, which has been lovely. And it's just such a great idea to put people up there and just have this cross-section of the whole of the country. And it's like kind of seeing people's creativity. It's like the woman who did the bread sculpture. She's brilliant. You know, it's like kind of things like that. You know, it's like people have been so creative up there. It's really thought-provoking because it raises so many questions over, you know, who are we, because we are obviously, we have our individual identities, but then we have this collective identity, and it's quite interesting. It'd be fascinating at the end of the project to break it down into things like, you know, X number of participants did this, X number of participants talked about a cause, you know, and all that kind of thing, and kind of these are the causes that people talked about, and this is however many participants, I don't know, mentioned that they decided to do like kind of something different this year, and that's why they were doing it. So it'd be interesting to see that, a real kind of eye opener to what life in the UK in 2009 is like. Someone was complaining on Twitter about people texting and phoning. And I was thinking about that. I thought, A, I'm on this thing, Twitter, you know, and B, so a part of like kind of that really says something about 2009 and where we are as a society, is the fact that we are in such a, you know, instant information society that, you know, people have had friends texted him and they've been texting back. It's like, you know, I'm on the plinth, you know. You know, it's like kind of such an instant society. So yeah, it's quite nice to be able to step back and go, right, you know, this is what we are as a society. And I suppose that's part of the reason why I want to get up there and say something about wildlife, because I think it's a key part of, you know, kind of us as human beings, that we need wildlife to survive, basically. Literally, we need wildlife to survive. So yeah, it's just... it's interesting, that bigger, broader picture. I'm really looking forward to that kind of doing it and looking at it and kind of seeing what comes out of that and being able to contribute one little R of it. You didn't think I was going to talk quite so much bollocks at the end, did you?
Thank you very much.